Our scripture this morning is the call of Samuel, the young boy in the temple. Let us hear the word of God. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called out, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Go lay down." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And he said, "I did not call you my son, go lay down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there and calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're going to begin Samuel's story with part one. Samuel, the youth pastor. When I say youth pastor, it's not someone like Jason or Sarah Boatwright who are adults in care of the youth. I mean, Samuel is a youth. He is a child. He's either a preteen or a young teen who is given responsibility at this point in life to serve the Lord. I have news for all of us. No matter where we are in life, our situation in life, no matter how old or young, we are called to serve the Lord. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, we can put that one slide up. Back up. There we go. "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young." At this point in Samuel's life, his young life, he must take up these words. The people of God are living in the promised land. And they're in a loose confederation, the 12 tribes of Israel all doing their own thing. And this is the time we call the time of the judges, where when the tribes are threatened, the Lord God raises up one of the famous judges. You know them, Deborah and Samson and Gideon. And these are parts general and governor and Supreme Court justices and prophets. Now we're near the end of the time of judges, and Eli has been a judge for a very, very long time. And he is failing physically and mentally and spiritually. He's turned over most of the responsibilities and powers over to his two sons. And I'm going to be, it's an ugly word, but it's true. They're crooks. They are crooks. There's nothing good about them. And so the best that can be said of Eli at this point in his life is he's letting his sons lead the people in the wrong direction. They are flaunting Eli's authority. They are using and abusing the people. It is no wonder that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Enter Samuel. He's a miracle baby, one of those Bible miracle babies. As soon as he's weaned, he's turned over to the temple and the Lord, and he's been under the mentorship of Eli since he was a toddler. Now we go through this Abbott and Costello routine with them. You know, "Samuel, Samuel," you called, you know. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Normally I end the scripture right there, as I did this morning, because the message to Samuel is so hard. This is verse 11 from the Message translation. "I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle." The Lord God gives Samuel a hard, hard prophecy that he must share. Eli has grown incompetent. His sons are rotten to the core. Their judgeship is going to end violently, and the lineage of Eli is going to go away forever. So now Samuel is called upon to tell his mentor and dear friend Eli this horrible news. Samuel must and does go about doing as the Lord has commanded him. The boy of God, Samuel, does as God's command. Life in Christ isn't always easy, no matter where we are in life. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young or middle-aged or a young adult or a senior citizen. While still a member of the temple youth group, Samuel becomes the leader of the people of God. And I wish I had a nice story to tell for the rest of the sermon. Oh, yeah, and he went to India and he picked the dead up off the dying off the streets and cared for them. Or like Francis of Assisi, he doctored the lepers. No, Samuel is the man of God, the boy of God, the young man of God, the middle-aged of God, the senior of God who must always do God's calling and God's will no matter how hard it is. For Samuel and for us, the call of God isn't always going to be easy at any age. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them, "If any one of you wants to become my follower, let them deny them their very selves and take up their cross and follow me." What cross do you need to pick up today? Jesus said, "I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." Who do you need to love today despite your own self and your own feelings and your own emotions? And if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. To whom must you offer that other cheek? So now we pick up Samuel's story, part two. Samuel, the George Washington of ancient Israel. As we pick up his story, think George Washington. Samuel, like George Washington, was born into the ancient world, another world, comes into a new world, sometimes reluctantly. He's passionate, respected, revered, but not ever really cuddly or lovable. He does what God calls him to do. When General Washington died, one of his generals said of him, you've heard this before, first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. That describes Samuel. George Washington is first in the revolution, leading the Revolutionary War. Samuel, as a young man, leads the people of God against the Philistines and their enemies. At the height of his physical strength, he is a general. Samuel is first in peace as he moves into middle age towards retirement. Samuel is the last great judge to arbitrate for the people of God. And then he becomes kingmaker. First in the hearts of the people. They turn to Samuel again and again. He's trying to retire. He's retired many times. And the people turn to him again and again for wisdom and guidance. From childhood through to old age, he serves the Lord God. And that service is always changing, always different, always evolving. As we move very, very quickly through Samuel's life, you'll see that there is no retirement from following the Lord God and serving the people of God. Go back and read 1 Samuel. It was a delight this week to read it. There's so many stories, so much of an epic that we forget. So go back and read it this week. It's just awesome. Samuel, first in war. From chapters 4 of the first book of Samuel till about the middle of chapter 7, the people of God and the armies of the 12 tribes are taking a beating. The Philistines are destroying the leaders in battle. The armies are routed. They even lose the Ark of the Covenant. You know the Ark of the Covenant from Indiana Jones. We all know the Ark of the Covenant. It's got the Ten Commandments. Well, they take it into battle as a good luck charm. And, of course, they get routed and the Ark is taken away from them. Through God's miraculous intervention, it comes back to them. But then, the people rush to Samuel. And he gathers the people at Mizpah. And he calls them to repent and follow the Lord. He leads them in prayer. And then as he's leading them in prayer, the Philistines attack. And Samuel, the young general, leads the people to victory. So don't let anyone think less of you because you are a young adult. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel. And Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistine. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel is first in peace. Samuel continued as Israel's leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went from circuit, from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. And today, I got to tell you, this is my favorite part of Samuel's story. I can relate to this one. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are middle-aged. I like that. From the time he's a young man until the time that Samuel grows old, he preached, he taught, he arbitrated, he judged, he cared for the people. He did his pastor thing. That's what he did. He was pastor to the people. His call, his vocation in this part of his life, in this part of his career, is described in those verses that are so easy to miss in this epic. What an epic tale. And it's very simply says, he was the leader of Israel all his life and he judged the people till his old age. As we take up our crosses daily, it doesn't mean we're always going to be doing spectacular things. It means we're mostly doing our ministry, mostly living a life of Christ, day by day, hour by hour, no fuss, no muss. It means going through and doing what God has called us to be. Be you butcher, baker, candlestick maker, educator, healthcare worker, laborer, engineer, administrator, office worker, factory worker, pastor, full-time stay-at-home mom, full-time stay-at-home dad, grandpa, grandma. Most of that is just doing your thing. Loving people and serving the Lord with gladness, just doing it, not making headlines. It is simply doing what we do to love and serve God and the people of God day after day. I had to come to the realization that I'm never going to be C.S. Lewis. And that's okay. That really is okay. And Samuel is about to find out that living out a life of Christ, living out a life of in the Lord for Samuel and Christ for us, doesn't stop as we age. Samuel is first in the hearts of God's people. As Samuel is aging, no decent successor is being raised up, and the people turn to Samuel, the man of God, one more time. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said, "You are old." Thank you. "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. The man of God prayed. And he was angry in his prayer. I love this. He is angry. "Why should they want a king, Lord? They have you. You are the king. You are the one who has led us and guided us and done all this for us. We shouldn't be like everybody else. We shouldn't have a king like everybody else because we have the Lord." Thank you. "Because we have the Lord. We are different. And the people need to realize that." But Samuel, we want to be just like everybody else. And going against his better judgment, he follows the Lord once more. The Lord said, "Let it be so." This is another hard ministry for Samuel. To do as God commands rather than what he wants to do. Samuel identifies and anoints Saul as the first king of Israel. Then Samuel, like George Washington, gives a memorable farewell address. And Samuel warns the people about the consequences of following a king, an earthly king. At the same time, he says, "Be faithful to the Lord." And at the same time, he says, "I'm going to pray for you." This is so awesome. He's mad as heck at him. But he said, I'm going to pray for you. This is what he says. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it for me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right, but be sure to fear the Lord, that have awe of the Lord. Serve him faithfully with all your hearts. Consider the great things the Lord has done for you. So Samuel finally gets to retire to his own version of Mount Vernon at Ramah, to live out the rest of his days as a private citizen. Almost. The Lord still has more work for Samuel. Part 3, Samuel serving God in retirement, so-called retirement. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are a senior citizen. Samuel's last ministry is to anoint the next and future king. For lots and various reasons, refer to the book of Samuel, first book of Samuel, Saul fails as the people of God. And so the Lord God literally calls Samuel out of retirement. And his last ministry is to anoint David, the youthful David, another young person, the youthful David as the king. And a new epic begins. And we only see Samuel in the flesh one more time. 1 Samuel 19:18. When David had fled and made his escape from Saul, that's a great story, read that story. But David flees and makes his escape from Saul. He went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done for us, for him. The very aged Samuel, the man of God, is now mentor in a new and different era, serving God, serving a new king in his very advanced age. Finally, chapter 25, now Samuel died, and all of Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. The lesson of Samuel's retirement years is that there is no retirement from following the Lord God. Throughout his whole life, Samuel's ministry changed, it evolved, it slowed down, but it never stopped. Our lives in Christ don't ever stop, folks. We don't ever retire from Christianity. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And in Romans 12, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." There are no time limits. There are no time limits and no age restrictions to being a follower of Christ. No picking or choosing when I'm going to take myself out of the game. We're on the field our whole lives. Now, in seminary, we thought we were really clever, and we had this catchy little phrase. There is no vacation from your vocation. Get it? No vacation from your vocation. Never mind. There's no stopping serving the Lord. We are, each and every one of us, called to serve the Lord in every situation in life, at every age in life, in every situation that the Lord God puts us. There's no vacation from that. There's no stopping. There might be slowing down. There might be transitioning into different ways and means and different things in life, but there is no vacation from your vocation.